tuned in to Word of Mom Radio here on the Word of Mom Media Network.
Welcome to the Village Vision Podcast, where community, collaboration, and care converge. I'm Dr. Crystal Morrison, and I'm honored to be your host on this incredible journey. As a firm believer in the power of a united village, I'm thrilled to bring you inspiring stories, research, and projects that break down barriers in child and family care. Through heartfelt conversations with experts, advocates, and those with lived experiences, we'll showcase the transformative impact of collective support. So join me on the Village Vision Podcast as we explore the remarkable collaborations that lead to better outcomes, foster a sense of community, and inspire action to improve care for ourselves and everyone around us. On today's episode, I'm here with Melissa Lombardo. Melissa Lombardo is a survivor, thriver, trauma-sensitive, encouraging speaker, certified sexual assault crisis advocate, and a trauma-informed coach. She's also the author of Hurt, Healing, and Hope, Thriving Beyond Sexual Assault, which was released in the summer of 2023. Welcome, Melissa.
Thank you very much, Crystal. I'm really happy to be here. I just love the name of your podcast. I love what you're trying to do, and I'm honored and appreciative.
Oh, thank you. So I am really honored to have connected with Melissa because I really wanted to talk more about trauma, sexual assault, and healing on this podcast. So I felt like finding you, Melissa, was sort of the universe answering some of my thoughts and hopes. But I think that this important topic is really a very important topic to our audience, but selfishly, as we talk, it's a topic that I need for my own healing journey too. And of course, this episode will air in April, and April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. So very good timing for us to talk, right?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and every month should be Sexual Assault Awareness Month, but I am glad that we do have a month, and it's up to us to do what we can to spread the word and educate and advocate for others.
Absolutely. So without question, I want to talk about your book because it's a very, very different kind of book. But before we get to the book, I really want you to share at least the parts that you're comfortable with, the why behind the book. You know, what inspired you to write Hurt, Healing, and Hope?
I think for me, the why started out as journal entries for me to process sexual assault as it had happened to me. When I was in my 20s, I was assaulted. And a friend of mine who's most likely listening to this now was the first person I had ever told months after the assault. Yeah. He brought me to a crisis center and I ended up receiving services there. The counselor encouraged me to journal as part of my therapy and as part of my recovery. And I started journaling her. I started journaling healing. And at some point, as years went by, I started to journal hope. At the time, it was hurt.
Yeah.
Lots of hurt, definitely lots of hurt. Healing's never linear, but you know, in those months following my revelation to my friends of what had happened to me, that's what I started to do. Why I am doing what I'm doing now is based in that time period. But in addition to that, over the course of the past 20 years, I've become a mother. I'm an aunt. I've raised children in my neighborhood. And I got married, and all these things are part of those whys as well. I think that, you know, just as life, you know, is so complex and healing is as well, I realized 20 years post sexual assault that I really hadn't healed. And I had probably thought I did, or I had blocked it. I disassociated it, which was actually what I really feel was going on. And it wasn't until 20 years later, when I moved back to the United States after living abroad for 17 or so years, that I was faced with all these images and memories from the past. And I decided I really want to, what I now call heal for real. I wanted to face these things that had happened to me and be able to do something with it. So it started again as me wanting to heal. And as I got into healing, the why went from, it's not just why Melissa wants to heal and live her best life and thrive. There are so many other survivors. There are so many people that have either spoken their story or still have it inside and might not ever speak it. I do that for them. In addition to bringing back that motherhood piece into it, I want to be the best parent I can to my son as he's growing up and as he is someday going to potentially get married and have children of their own, you know, and my nieces and nephews, my sister and brother both have children. You know, I want to be that aunt or that positive role model of how somebody can get through something difficult in their life. So I think there's so many different things, but I think I would focus, you know, for today, I think I would focus on, you know, on those whys. I mean, sexual assault is something that can happen to anyone.
Absolutely.
Disproportionately to people of color. It happens to men. It happens to women, boys, girls, transgendered as well. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just, you know, something that needs to be able to be spoken about on podcasts like yours, at dinner, at breakfast, and to be able to support healing of others, to be able to support this community. We heal in community just like we need community, you know, to be able to thrive. And that's part of it. So those are all of my encapsulated, those are all of my whys for the moment. But I think those are some, I think, interesting points that have come up in my life that I'd like to be able to leave for the world.
Yeah.
So it's not just, you know, it's this podcast, like another one that you had, which was Rape and Racism, which was very powerful. So I will encourage everybody to listen to that one as well as after they listen to this one. And just to, you know, get more involved in the topic, just to be able to see some of the things that we might not be able to see or we might not think about. And, you know, just opening our eyes more to what's going on and to be able to support the whys everybody else has, because we all have a why. And why we, you know, we want to do these things, you know, to leave into the world. And I think, you know, that's part of that. When I listened to that podcast, I think I just got goosebumps just listening to it, you know, one, because you took that step to do that. And then two, and I'm not going to give it away, you know, it was just really powerful. The images that came up to my mind and just the, you know, the injustices that people like, you know, how you named her as Nora, you know, felt.
Yeah.
So today I'm going to also say I'm going to honor Nora and be speaking about this topic here with you today.
Thank you. Thank you very much. When it comes to your book, Melissa, the book is very unique. I really want to talk about the book now and how unique it is. When people go on Amazon or their local bookstore, you know, they expect to have chapters and pick up the book, learn something from it, and maybe put it down or recommend it to somebody else, right? And your book is not traditional, and it's not traditional in a beautiful way. Can you tell us a little bit more about how your book is structured?
So going back, so I am very interconnected with many of the things I do in life. Those journal entries that I mentioned just a few minutes ago, those journal entries became what today is a three-act book performance piece titled Hurt, Healing, and Hope, Thriving Beyond Sexual Assault. About 5 years after the assault, I was studying a graduate degree in Vermont, and I had the opportunity actually to plan activities for Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And some people might have heard of the T-shirt project, for example, and some people might have heard Take Back the Night. There's lots of, you know, organizations that do these types of things. I was able to plan different activities for an entire month through my work study at the time. And I thought about these journal entries that I had, you know, written. I asked my mother to go into my, I don't know, I must have had them in a box or container or something in my room, get these journals, hand them over to my friend, which was the first person that I had ever told I was assaulted 5 years prior, and have him bring me these journal entries to Vermont. I went through them, and I pulled out some of the key ones. And at the end of Sexual Assault Awareness Month at that point in time, other students on campus spoke those journal entries out loud. So it was kind of the basis of my later work, which got published, which is now, you know, 15 years after that. And so the book is active, it's alive. And as I started to get into healing these last couple of years before I published, I realized that I had been silent, that I had stuffed down healing into these places that were actually making me physically sick. And as I started to go through these, I was thinking that I would just publish it as a book, but I always knew this is something that's meant to be performed. This is something that can be spoken. And I started to realize as I went through this publishing journey, which included becoming a sexual assault crisis advocate, and it included going to the library, getting books by other survivors, in the beginning, I was only actually able to have those books in my room on the floor covered with a sweater because the titles were too much for me. I couldn't even, I knew they were there and I just couldn't open them. But just the fact that I was able to start getting these resources and these people that came before me, different authors, inspired me to join a writer's group. And then it took me the 3 times to actually become a sexual assault crisis advocate because it was just really hard for me to do.
And triggering, right?
Yes, it was very triggering. And I realized I had a, you know, I have a history of sexual violence and that those were some just really hard moments.
Yeah.
But I did it. And I was in my writing group and one of the women in the group said, you know, this is a spoken piece. And I know it is. Yeah, it definitely is. And as I started to heal, I said, you know, this is a word that I need. Rape is a word that I need to take control over to be able to say, because up until a few years ago, I couldn't say it even as it related to me.
Sure.
And I started thinking like, this needs to be a conversation that you can have just as if you're eating dinner or if you're eating breakfast or you're cooking a meal and you're talking about, I don't know, vacation or, you know, picking up the kids at school. You need to be able to talk about these things. I need to be able to talk about these things. So I decided to move forward with the idea that somebody can read this Hurt, Healing, and Hope to themselves. They can read it out loud to themselves, or they can perform it in a theater, community theater, a college setting, to bring about more advocacy, awareness, education. And throughout the monologues, I bring in other voices of other survivors, of stories that I've heard. As people started to hear about, you know, some of the things I went through and, you know, how I was healing from them or dealing with it, you know, depending on the time of my life, you know, I started hearing stories. And even to this day, I hear stories all the time.
Sure.
Why? Because it happens all the time. And that's why we need to be talking about these types of things. I would love to be able to do so much more with this to bring about additional advocacy and awareness. And women, men, like I had mentioned before, women of color, LGBTQ community, nobody, unfortunately, is beyond the reach of this topic. And one of the things I think also that this is a great resource for would be a supporter. I've had people come to me and say, this happened to my child, my granddaughter, my grandson, my neighbor, what can I do to support them? So just putting myself out there as that resource of you can use this. The book has illustrations by my husband, who's a Nicaraguan graphic designer and illustrator and art teacher. He took the feeling of each act, Hurt, Healing, and Hope, and he put those feelings into an illustration that if you, this is just my opinion, but you can actually pick out the illustrations, put them in order of Hurt, Healing, and Hope, thriving beyond sexual assault, and you can understand where that work is going.
Yeah.
You can see and feel exactly what the words say through his illustration. You can see exactly how that person is going through, or those people, since there's many voices, are going through a transformation to what comes next. I didn't know there was hope. I didn't know there was thriving until, you know, years later.
Sure.
And I didn't think I could find joy until a few weeks ago, actually. It's just been such a journey. And I just think it's so important that others know that there is hope after something that's so hurtful and that's not their fault at all, ever.
Absolutely. I think it's just so interesting that you're bringing the words and the story to life through potentially performance, through art, for example, through the illustrations. And, you know, one of the key things that you mentioned that I also wanted to highlight is that, you know, this book is not just for someone who's been assaulted sexually. This book can be used by therapists in their work. There's a complimentary journal workbook that goes along with it. There's an opportunity for survivors groups or different organizations to use the book. So can you give us some more examples of how different types of people or organizations could use their book in their work?
Yeah, I definitely agree. Yes. So there is, it's Hurt, Healing, and Hope. There's 3 acts, interwoven monologues at the end. There is a resource section, a resource guide as well, and there are reflection questions for people to be able to reflect on what they read or things that they might want to learn more about further. They also, there's an area for performance licensing notes. There's an area for journaling, because I wanted to make this active. I didn't want it to be just something that somebody read. And then, like you said, that, you know, that was it. I want this to be a tool, for example, for social justice in theater, a tool for a therapist who might be working with a client, for example, that might have maybe substance use going on. Sure. And what I've realized with this, you know, same journey through healing, you know, that trauma is trauma. And there are so many underlying causes to why someone may be using alcohol or using drugs or various other types of, you know, substance, any type of use, any type of addiction. Actually, I was able to donate a book to a clinic that works with people's outpatient clinic in my home state. And they work with people who have substance use. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, at those moments, I just saw how linked certain topics were, you know, like mental health and sexual violence or trauma. And then, you know, as I started talking to people and learning, you know, about other people and what they've gone through, I've had people say to me, Melissa, I haven't had that same experience as you, but this happened to me and it's just as traumatic and there's things you have to get through and you work with, for example, a therapist or a support group. Or maybe we're studying theater and we're interested in doing more than just theater with a happy ending. I mean, in a sense, I could say that I do have a happy ending because I'm still here today, but I've had to go through so much to get there. And maybe that is a story that others, 20-year-olds in school, for example, would benefit from. But I think, you know, like you said, support groups, mental health, well-being, centers that work with and then people in residential care as well that might be able to take on a small project like this and be able to perform it within their, you know, within their group. If somebody's located in the state of Connecticut, you know, they can always rely on me to, you know, help them with support, with performances. And so part of the other part of being interactive, and I'll travel around anywhere in the United States, is, you know, one of the things about being an interactive piece is that you also get Melissa. So you're going to get not only, for example, like, you know, there's a package that I'm offering that you can get this book, you can get this companion journal, but you can also, through this package, get Melissa to be able to speak to your audience, speak to people who are going through the rehearsals, because my experience as a survivor, my experience as an advocate, and my experience with theater, I think they intersect so well to be able to bring about more advocacy, more education, and more awareness, because the end goal for all of this is to be able to eradicate what's happening, but also for those that it has happened to be able to support their own healing and thriving. So even though, you know, it does the word hurt, and there are monologues that are very hurtful that I don't like reading because I identify with them way too much. And you know, in that respect, there is still the component of healing and hope that could go into thriving. And that looks different for everybody. So keeping that in mind and to be able to work with others, to be able to bring about whatever projects that they might even have or wherever they might like to have it, you know, even a Zoom call, you know, like this, talking with people that might be interested in taking those next steps. I mean, I just think the possibilities are endless for a topic that I am passionate about speaking about. And I've been silenced before. I went through years of not speaking about it. So I'm at this point, you know, and when I started to really think, am I going to really publish? And I was kind of going through this push-pull, like, can I even do this? I didn't know if I could. You know, something would happen and or somebody would cross through my path and it would remind me of this is why I'm doing it. And it wasn't just for, you know, me anymore. It was going back to that same why. And I'm not keeping my mouth closed anymore. You know, this is like, you can get through this too. And, you know, we can all heal in community, you know.
That's so true. And a lot of times when people talk about trauma and healing, they talk about the power of community in healing. It's so important. So we're going to wrap up today, and I would love for you to give you the opportunity to issue a call to action to our audience. Let the audience know how they can find you, how they can reach out to you, and who you're interested in meeting also to further your journey.
You can find me on my website, melissabblombardo.com. You can also find me in social media, Melissa B. Lombardo Author. That's YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook. And I think as a call to action, I mean, in addition to finding my book and journals, but I think as a really call to action, today I encourage everybody to look in the mirror, appreciate themselves for how far they've come. Look at yourself lovingly in this mirror and think about how you were able to wake up this morning and you have a new day to be able to make choices of how you can do it and how you can take a step forward in healing and thriving, and just appreciate that. And maybe when you go outside, look up into the sky and look as far as you can out into the bluest of the blue. Just know there's a whole world, not only out there, but within you waiting to just jump for joy. You got this.
Yeah. That's such a great closing thought. Appreciate you so much. And do want to let all of our listeners know that all of Melissa's contact information that she mentioned is in our show notes. So be sure to check it out there. Melissa, thank you so much for joining us today on the Village Vision podcast. I'm so grateful that you shared your story and experience with our listeners.
Thank you very much.
So thank you for joining us on this episode of the Village Vision podcast. I hope you have found inspiration and valuable insights from our conversation today. If you've enjoyed today's episode on Word of Mom Radio, please subscribe, rate, leave a review, and share. But thank you. Thank you for being a part of the Village Vision podcast. Take care, and let's keep shining a light on the power of community, collaboration, and care.
She is sure,
she is sure,
she is strong,
she is strong,
she is true.